Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for our 21st episode. For the episode, we don't need to look up the episode title because I think we know that this one's The Undertaking. Mm-hmm. 21st episode, two episodes away from the end of the season. Like this is our third to... Next week's the penultimate. I love it when I get to use the word penultimate in a sentence properly and, you know, it's not forced and contrived like it just was. So next week I'll get to use it organically. But holy crap, amazing episode.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk to you about it. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen, with me.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin. It's good to talk to you guys. I'm, excited to get into this episode. Really meaty one, which is nice.
Yeah.
No island this
Zero
week.
Island.
So,
like, not in the way that it's been in the last 2 weeks where it was, like...
Little bit of island.
Like,
yeah.
Like one, like a very loosely tied in island story, but like just no island.
But we got pre island, so we got like the boat.
Yeah.
It was very weird. I wasn't expecting that, but I guess it makes sense in The Undertaking. We've been talking for a while. This is the first time that we've seen characters in the back. We were talking about maybe not seeing Laurel and Ollie together, but it broke our expectations this week to get to see...
Well, you know, because the flashbacks seem to be moving along in a very linear fashion, right?
Yeah,
but this flashback wasn't Oliver's flashback, and I think that's the important part to it. I think Oliver played a part in the flashback.
A hilarious one, by the way.
Yeah, but much more importantly, I think that this was Moira and what's his dad's name?
Oh, don't do that to me. Mr. Queen.
Yeah, it's like right on the tip of my tongue and I can't think of it. And this is the thing, they said it like how many times in the episode. Anyways,
Richard.
Well, it's something like that. I think it might be Richard. I think that's what I feel like it is, but I feel like that's also wrong.
I feel that that's wrong, but I want to say Richard.
Sorry for being the worst host of the Green Arrow podcast ever. But unfortunately, you're stuck with us.
Yes.
And let's address something else about, let's clear something up so that we're not as bad of hosts as...
I was going to say, though, but if you think that we're, like, really good hosts, I don't know, like, this is, like, we are the best least professional podcast on the internet, and we've said that from the beginning, so...
The best produced least professional podcast on the internet.
Yeah. We are true to our mandate.
Yeah, and along those lines, Phil Maynard sends in an email, and he wants to know when to email. So it's kind of ironic because this is when you get your email, right, Phil? And he says, I think I speak for everyone when I ask, when do you two record? I can't be the only one who has missed my chance to email about the current episode before you start to record. Not all of us can see it at Ramona's time. Not nagging, just want to know so that I can see my ranting about Roy on time. And I'm just going to correct that. You get to hear it because we only did the one video episode and we're never going to do that specific type of video episode again. Thanks, guys. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Phil from... Now, he tells me how to pronounce it. Lodi.
Ooh.
I say he's a PS. Most people have that problem when pronouncing my town. It literally sounds like Lodi. So now we know it's Lodi.
Cool.
Lodi, California. Cool. Well, Phil, there is no simple answer to your question. But the short answer is that we record the night of the episode, usually. That's when we try to record.
And if we do get to record, we try to record it like right at like 7 at the latest.
Yeah.
Like, we'll come and we'll watch it because we record the 5 o'clock feed because we're Pacific.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll watch it as soon as we can get here from work and then record right after that. So sometimes we do. Sometimes that's why Ramona gets in because she emails right after she's watched it on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And that's after we've watched it because we usually watch it like 2 hours or 3 hours after that. But oftentimes I work or Mike works or we have activities and, you know, sometimes we record between Wednesday and Saturday. So.
Yeah.
Which.
There's been an episode or two where we have, I mean, about a month ago, there was the episode where we recorded on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
At like, what, like at like 10 o'clock
something
in the morning,
atrocious,
right?
Atrocious, I had to be
yeah,
so
like
early.
Something ridiculous for a Saturday morning to be like working, essentially.
Yeah.
I recorded it and then Amanda left because she had something to do that day.
Yeah.
And I literally went into my office, plugged my phone into the computer, downloaded the recording, and edited it and put it out. And the episode was on iTunes within an hour of us having finished recording.
Which is cool.
So, all of that to say, there really isn't a set time, but there might be cause to look in the future at maybe recording on Thursdays instead of recording on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
But I think the idea initially was that it would be fresh.
Yeah.
Was that we could watch the episode that night and then record our thoughts immediately. I mean, the initial idea wasn't even to watch the episode, like to play back the episode.
Yeah.
It was just watch the episode and then we would just... But watching back, like playing back the episode while we record, means that we don't have to take notes.
Yeah, it's true.
You can imagine what the podcast would be like if we weren't doing that.
Yeah.
Because Amanda and I are...
So tangential.
Tangential that this is hour two of recording.
It's ridiculous. We talked.
Because we talked for an hour.
About everything.
About literally everything. At one point in time, I was talking about the physical makeup of the universe. So yes, we talked about... We literally talked about everything.
It was good. But we will try... I mean, sometimes we try to record... I don't know. I mean, we try to look at emails, and usually people have to get them in fast. Maybe next year that's something we can look at, is maybe recording on Thursdays. It just works out sometimes for us to just put in our calendars for Wednesdays and come and do everything all at once.
Yeah.
So we apologize if we miss your emails. Another thing that I just want to point out about emails is sometimes we get a variety of emails, and we have to choose a couple people that we've read before because they send us nice, succinct, like short emails that are like topical about the show, or even like an email that's maybe not about the show but about something that you thought of leading up to the show, and it allows us to talk about the episode, which is useful, and not have to talk about your email for 5 minutes, right? Like sometimes really long emails, we just can't read them. It just takes up a bit too much time. So we feel really bad if we are reading all the emails that people are sending in, and they're really thoughtful and great, but we just can't read them on the podcast.
My addendum to that thought is that's the sort of stuff that you guys should be throwing up on the group. Are your in-depth thoughts about stuff, because that's where the really great discussion can come from amongst you guys in a much longer format.
Yeah.
So if you've got a really great, you know, synopsis of how you felt about the episode, spread that with the community, right?
Yeah.
It's not your only chance to be heard isn't just with us, right?
Yeah.
It's not just being heard on the podcast.
Yeah.
There's also an opportunity in the group to lead discussion there. Yeah. So putting that energy there, I think, is probably better spent.
Mm-hmm.
And then keeping the more succinct commentary to an email is a little bit better, because then, like Amanda says, it allows us to springboard off of that and then have a conversation about that part of the episode, or that idea, or that prediction, or where we think it's going to go.
Yeah. Or prompting questions are great too. I mean, you can write a contrived email being like, so this is it from the DC universe?
Yeah.
You know, we love that, because we're like, oh, well, Phil, to tell you the truth. So it's, but I really, by the way, props to all the people that are leading conversations right now on the Quiver podcast Facebook page or group, actually, because it's great to just jump on there and they're having really great conversations.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, and keep that conversation going. So if you aren't hearing your email read on our podcast, we do apologize for that. It could sometimes be a timing thing. It could sometimes be a content thing. It could sometimes be the fact that me and Mike talk for an hour beforehand and only get to one email because we need to record
and go
to sleep because we're tired. So
that's a legitimate concern.
Yes.
With that said, let's get into the episode, Undertaking. So I am hitting play right now for those of us watching along.
Yay.
So I got some arrow. Here we are.
We really are tired today.
We are. I couldn't think of like the title screen.
That's, title screen. Yeah.
But we've got our regular blowing up the pyre and news guy, and there's the list, and blowing up a car.
So it was good.
Salmon ladder. He hasn't done the salmon ladder in an episode in a long time.
Yeah. So here we have Walter. This is a Walter-centric episode, which is good. I'm glad that I watched the good trailer last week and could say that it was a Walter episode.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, some people didn't get the right trailer for it. But so we were proven wrong. We didn't know if Walter was coming back or not, and we have seen. It was kind of nice. He was, spoiler, alive.
Yeah.
I really hope that you have watched the episode so far. We said it before and we'll say it again.
This is not the podcast to listen to if you don't want spoilers. Yeah. If you stop now, watch the episode, and then come back to us.
Yeah.
So we start with this accountant guy with his Cayman Fidelity, which was a very like last second.
This guy went to Studio 58. For, yeah. I'm pretty sure he's like a local actor.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. It's just randomly see people.
So clearly, our ne'er-do-well of the episode and Oliver showing up, the vigilante showing up rather. But I love that his red herring of the opening elevator and then using the bulletproof briefcase to.
He isn't really there. He deals with a lot of guns this episode. I don't think he's dealt with this many guns in a really long time in terms of like really having to like defend himself. And this is a cool shot too. The guy just like sliding into frame. Yeah. This is like a cool setup. I don't know. Props to the director of this episode. It's kind of cool. Anyways. So he's being called out for being the accountant and the destruction of innocent lives. So is he following a thread? Did we like learn about this last week? Or is this just
we're no, sort of starting in the middle of this is just another name on the list.
Okay. That's good.
And this is really all that served was it's going to lead us down the path to... Well, in a minute, we're going to find out. There's going to be a correlation to when Walter went missing. So it's really like that. All of that was just to get us to the point of...
Walter.
Getting back to the thread of Walter, right?
Can we just talk about Felicity's awesome sweater for a minute?
Her awesome sweater?
It's like...
I thought you were going to mention her dangly earrings.
Oh, I like her earrings. Her earrings are great. The sweater was weird.
I heard you say that while we were watching it the first
time. I know. I like those earrings. They're great. I love flat, like, leaf earrings. She wears a lot of leaf earrings, actually. Like, those really cool earrings beforehand were leaf.
The top stripe on the diamond on her sweater is almost the same color as the shirt. So, if you squint your eyes, it almost looks like a Superman logo. Almost. Just,
awesome. Maybe. Subliminal.
Getting impatient for the Man of Steel coming out.
Yeah. It's good. Anyways, we just talked over. So Diggle's not back yet, and Felicity's telling him to. It does kind of look like the Superman logo. Wow, crazy.
Trouble in Paradise, as I like to say.
Yes.
With the bro TP of Oliver and Diggle, which when you guys eventually hear our 1 hour podcast before this podcast, that'll make sense.
Yes, it will. So this is the first time that we've heard about Walter in 6 months, which I think literally is the first time that we've mentioned Walter since, like, 7 episodes ago?
With the exception of, like, us personally mentioning, like, what's going on with that Walter storyline, anyway?
Yeah. So, Moira, it's interesting. I was trying to figure out what was the difference between, like, how they, like, differentiated her from the early Moira, and it was straightening her hair. And I was like, oh.
Right there.
Yeah.
Straight hair.
So, it's kind of cool. So, this is our first, I really liked the way that they handled this. I think they do a cool way of, do you think that this is like, there's something with lighting to make it...
It's softer. It's a softer lighting.
It's really cool.
It's more diffuse.
But it's also brighter than, because the island is soft as well, but it's darker.
Yeah.
And this is just sort of, it's just like a different perspective on the past, right?
A lot of the time this would be like a dream.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Sort of a way of lighting it, right? If you're trying to show something as like a dream state or a flashback. I mean, like, this is a very common thing with flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go back to lots of episodes of Smallville where flashbacks were shown in this this light.
Yeah.
But I like that along with that, Moira's character is also much lighter.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very, there's a correlation there. She's making jokes. She's she's a mother. She's not all of the other things that she is now, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of cool. Two dead characters back because it's a flashback, which is kind of fun. And then these other random, they always have two extras that just sit in on these meetings.
Silently.
Silent partners. So we really get a lot of Malcolm's crazy darkness in this episode, I think. Like, you really get him sort of... he's so together as, like, when we first meet him, he's sort of this, like, dark overlord, and we, like, understand that he's got a lot of power, but we can see that it comes from a place of instability, and I think that that's what they're setting up for us, is this idea that, like, that's what's going to take it down in the end, right? Like, it's really, you're going to get at this idea that he's, like, working from a really emotional place, not from a logical reasoning place. So, like, that's
later
really
on
in
the episode
becomes,
becomes
clear and becomes, I think, the only thing that they can use to really bring him down, is this idea that he's not actually standing on a place of needing, like, this undertaking actually is crazy. Like, that's what it, it gets down to, right? Yeah. That it's actually crazy, unlike, and he's finding the reason in it. So this idea...
The fact that he mentions, like, he's citing, what, he cites Vietnam or Korea? I can't remember.
Just other things. I don't know.
I can't remember what the exact... I mean, we just talked over it, so we missed it. But he essentially cites like a war crime as his legitimate reason for why they should do what they're going to do.
Right.
That, like, they had to, like, level... I don't have the history of it, so maybe not get too deep into it. But I think the idea is to show that he's not thinking from the standpoint of a compassionate human being anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is a...
Like, it's revenge. Now, this is the thing that actually really bothers me about The Undertaking, is that, like, it would have... The stakes are now not as high. I kind of like this. I'm just going to just comment here that Laurel's scene here in Verdant is kind of cute with him, her and her and Ollie. They're growing on me as a couple. But in
terms of... Terrible coffee.
Yeah. In terms of... The Undertaking would have more stakes if it was built on, like, a legitimate claim. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me when you start in this really place where you're like, there's this thing that's happening that's really important. And when it gets down to you, you're like, no, there's this thing that's happening because someone is crazy. Yeah. And that, like, it just makes it less hard to take down. Because if you are attacking a villain that has a, like, a leg to stand on and, like, is doing something for... Like, other reasons? Like, I don't know, that's kind of why I like the Joker.
I think one of the things in this episode, though, is that what we see is one person stand up against Malcolm.
Right.
And say, no, this isn't right. And what happens to him? He winds up dead.
Right.
And his son winds up stranded on an island. So... So I think that when you put it in that perspective, that this really, like, the days before that happened was when The Undertaking started.
Right.
It hadn't been going on. I think we were under the impression before that it had been going on previous
to
that.
Yeah.
I think for Malcolm it has. We learned that. Malcolm it's been going on.
Yeah.
But...
I love this, how Felicity twice in this episode gets called out on Who Are You?
Yeah.
Which is just this interesting...
Because she's been behind the scenes.
She just totally... And I think the problem is, and this is... Something, again, I think that they're really smart in setting something up here, is that Felicity has been going under the radar for a long time, and now, I mean, she sets herself up to be Megan, who's associated with the vigilante. Laurel now knows who she is, that she's with Ollie, and Walter is, like, she's there with Walter, and his family now knows who she is. It's just this very interesting sort of subtle thing, I think, that is going to be important later, But, anyways, I always forget that, like, Felicity came in because of Walter in a large way, right? Like, this idea that, like, she really is tied to him in how he... was it December 12th, really? That's when Walter went missing?
Yeah.
It's only been since December?
Yeah.
Wow. He was in, like, the first whole half of the season.
But you remember he left for a little bit.
Oh, right? And then, like, right.
He left because Moira wasn't being honest, so he took off. And then he came back.
I forgot. Yes. I wonder if they're going to change this Arrow title next year.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, Supernatural hasn't, in all fairness. They stuck with just, like...
No, Supernatural changes it every season.
Well, yes, fair enough. That's true. That's true.
I think Supernatural is more the...
Actually, yeah, theirs is really
archetype.
Cool.
I love the way that... Like, the season premiere of Supernatural is always one of my favorite things, because you get to see, like, oh, what's this season about, right?
Oh, and it's so cool. The angel one was the coolest, where you were like, what?
The feathers?
Yeah. So cool. So cool. Anyways, so I kind of like that Felicity just, like, now just, like, works in the basement of Queen Industries Fabrication. So.
Well, they've essentially, they've traced this money, and they're going to try and figure out who this guy is.
He's alive.
Follow, so they found him out, and this is going to be the person who hired the person, or who was hired?
He was
to do the kidnapping.
He was hired to do the kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to kidnap Walter. Yeah. So this is I love that Felicity has just sort of made this transition into like totally accepting who the Green Arrow is and needs to be. So this idea, how many arrows do you need to put into him before he talks? It's just kind of.
But she still doesn't understand it. That's the thing, is that, because then Oliver's like, that's not really how this is going to work.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to give us information.
Yeah. So her really stepping up here, this idea that she's going to go and like, she's just putting herself fully on the line for his, well, I guess it's for Walter. I guess she really, that is her thing, is that like, that's why she was there, is to help them find Walter. Right.
Yeah.
So
I think she feels responsible, right? Because she's the one who decoded the book, essentially.
Right.
Figured out the riddle of the book. And that's what led Walter further down the path.
Yeah.
So she feels like she really opened that up. And she kind of treated it as a game in the beginning. It didn't take it seriously.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And so she, I think she carries a lot of guilt for the situation that Walter ended up in.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first time that we see sort of Walter being the secondary, like whoever he was before.
Yeah.
Before he became Moira's husband. So just helping here and being sort of really passive and a good man, as they say. It's just kind of this interesting backstory that I wasn't expecting this of this episode. I think this is really cool. I wasn't expecting Walter to be so, like, it being a Walter episode, but it being an Undertaking episode, and anyways.
Robert.
There, yeah, see.
Something with an R.
Yeah. We apologize for that, guys.
But this is the part that I was talking about, where this is where you really see just how messed up Malcolm is, because he starts to explain it to Robert and say, like, this is why I feel this way. This is why I'm doing what I'm gonna do.
Right.
But the real, like, sort of the crux of it is that it's not a justification.
Yeah.
Like, you understand, you can empathize with him, certainly, but it doesn't make him right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, somebody still needs to tell him that he's wrong. That, like, yes, it's understandable that that's how you feel like the Glades are the source of the problem, and you won't rest until that problem has been fixed, but this is not how to do it. Right?
Yeah,
like, that's not the way to go about things.
That's the thing, is that it's a revenge scheme. It's not an actual feasible.
But it's revenge on the city itself, which is such a weird,
weird
place to go with it.
Bizarre.
But if you had that much power,
I guess,
right? Like, and you were that egomaniacal, then wouldn't you get to that point too? Right? Like, you can kind of start to see. That's why I say, like, you can empathize with him. You can see where he's coming from. You can start to understand, if you were in his position, maybe you would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't make it the right thing to do.
Yeah. By the way, love Diggle's house. So this is cool. I liked this, seeing Diggle sort of in his own space. It was kind of nice. And I just love that. Remember we were talking last week about how we never really see Felicity and Diggle together?
Yeah.
So I kind of like that we got that payoff this week.
This is one of the scenes that we would have gotten an offhand comment about later.
Yeah. Yeah, right? So it's just kind of cool that we see Felicity and Diggle together, and that they just have this really cool.
I like, she asks the question about the paintings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do these?
Yeah.
And then he dodges it.
Yeah.
He just avoids it. So. Yeah. I love it, because now we know. You remember back in, like, the first three episodes when we were like, we don't really know how to gauge this show. Whether or not they're planting seeds for later.
Yeah.
Little did we know. So, yes, that is important. Those paintings are important. That trumpet in the background is important.
Yeah.
All of these things that map of the world
on the
computer screen and the TV screen, that's important.
Yeah.
Everything in every frame of this show is important. This conversation is also very important.
Yeah.
But it's just about them. They need to reconcile. Yeah. She's being a couples counselor for Oliver and Diggle.
His apartment is really great. It's like sort of this bright space with like a really great color palette. Sorry, but I just
it's modern, but it's also very homey. It's a lot of what Diggle is, right? Yeah. It says a lot about his character. I think stuff like that's important. I think that's why we have a podcast to talk about.
Yeah,
it, so.
That's true. Oh, that's the first time we've really seen Merlin Global Group.
The logo on the top of the building.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those the terracotta warrior statues. Things, all over the place. Yeah. With Malcolm's stuff. There was that stuff in his office when they were attacked. Mm-hmm. And there's this stuff in this building as well.
I really like that Laurel's smart, right? This idea that she knows he still loves her, that's one thing that's kind of good. Because you get sometimes in, like, CWE drama things where they're like, he doesn't love me anymore.
You know, honestly, I feel like Tommy is the only one on a CW show. Everybody else is on Arrow.
Yeah.
And Tommy just walked off the set of Gossip Girl onto Arrow. And so he's, like, looking down, you know, through his eyebrows at her because he's passively aggressive.
Yeah.
Sulking at her, right?
Yeah,
Like, I'm not gonna be with you because I know that Oliver's still in love with you. It's like, you know what, buddy? Grow up. Have a little bit of confidence and just realize that she is the one making the decision.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, you know, you're giving her every reason to go back to Oliver right now.
Which is frustrating. So frustrating.
I think that's the emotion they want us to feel, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess it sort of pays off tonight, like at the end.
Yeah.
So.
It pays off for Oliver and Laurel, but I feel like they're doing a little bit of a disservice to Tommy.
Because
they had sort of done one thing with him at the beginning of the season, and then they've turned it around to do something completely different at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they're kind of taking that away.
They are, and it's really bothering me. Like, that's why I think that this episode, just in terms of it, lowered all the stakes for, like, the villains for me in this episode. In terms of, like, making it not important enough for both Tommy and Merlin to be acting the way that they are. And that's the thing that really bothered me, is, like, if it becomes too easy to undermine the villains, I feel as though then the stakes for the heroes are not as great.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that bothers me, with setting something up and you're being like, no, but can't you totally see where Merlin's coming from? Because he's, like, emotional and a human being and he's human. I'm like, no, it makes him less of a villain. And that's what really bothered me with Tess on Smallville, is because she just, like...
Well,
like,
she was... only kind of a villain.
Yeah.
That, you're... Yeah.
Sorry.
We don't need to get into Smallville.
We won't. But, like, in terms of... It just is something in terms of, like, villains. It's just... Snapdragon. So this is cool. So Felicity, you know, manning up here and going into the club in this awesome red dress.
They're undercover.
This is great.
She's going to go in and count cards. We kind of talked over all this.
We did.
She's going to count cards in this guy. The kidnapper has an illegal gambling...
Yeah.
Casino situation going on.
It's really fancy. I like it.
So she, because she's a super genius, is going to go in and count cards. So with the intent of being taken into his office so that she can plant a bug on his computer, which I think is really gutsy.
I just love that she's just talking to Oliver in this headset thing. Yeah. Having you inside me. Like, I just, like, it's just really funny. I just, like, they find her and just, like,
I love his reaction, though. His straight, like, man is what makes it great.
Yeah, it is.
Because she's like, I should stop talking now. And he's like, that would be preferable.
Yeah, like, it's just great.
I think we've had that conversation.
We have. That's okay. It means that the friendship is working. When like, people can just be like, no. I love how sort of, like, badass she felt, like, pushing that money on there, going, one stack of hot sauce.
And for a second, my mind went, where'd she get that money? That, oh, Oliver.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's
that's
just throwing $100,000
at that. That's just his weekend.
Yep.
You know, there party you know. Cash.
You love it. Which we comment to later in the episode, in what I have to say is one of the most gold moments of Abercrombie Oliver ever. Or maybe Oliver ever. I just love it. I laughed so hard. It was great. So we have Moira and...
Malcolm
here. They talk a couple times in this episode. Some good FaceTime between the both of them here. Which is making me worried, because right now they're shooting the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. Why is John Barrowman still in Vancouver? Just throwing it out
there. Well, they're done. They've wrapped on shooting.
On Arrow. I guess maybe technically there's still time for them to get
They're done.
But they're like...
They've been done for like a week and a half.
Have they? But they've been shooting Doctor Who for like a week and a half. So maybe. Anyways, sorry for being really tangential. But anyways, so really this scene is to just go back and to plant the seed of what really happened. And this idea of... it being Moira, it's sort of Moira's flashback, right? Like that's Ted Kord, by the way.
Yeah, we get the shout out to Ted Kord, the Blue Beetle, which people have actually been. There's been kind of a rumor that season two Blue Beetle's going to show up in some way.
It would make sense.
So you know what? I would imagine that right there, that mention in that script, that timing coincides pretty well with when that rumor showed up and when they would have been shooting this episode. So.
Right.
So maybe people are just extrapolating from there, but who knows? Maybe we'll see Blue Beetle in some way.
Yeah.
A different version of Blue Beetle, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're getting this Moira, this conflict of, remember how I was talking about, I guess, the idea that I wasn't quite sure what Moira was, like good or bad, or this idea that you get in this episode that she started from a place of good, and I think that we didn't really know that. We thought that maybe she was in it really
not even just good, I think like, innocence. I mean, I'm sure that her character is not an innocent character.
But
like, in regards to the Undertaking, in regards to the Cult of the Squiggly Line, she is very much innocent in all of this right now. And I think, to go back to what we were talking about before, the slippery slope starts with Robert's death. And that sort of puts her in a position of fear where she starts to just go with whatever Malcolm is saying because of fear. And then eventually it turns into, sort of cooperation to corroboration it's a slippery slope to the point where she's at now where she conspired with him to kidnap her current husband. And that, you know, but this, the more important part of this scene is that she says that she was responsible.
Oh!
Right in that moment is where she was responsible.
Sorry, can we just go back to saying he said that please don't let this happen? How can he make it not happen? By making his son become a vigilante and go back and kill all these people in a book? Could that maybe be how Robert prevents this from happening?
Possibly.
Sorry, but like, how does him getting on the Gambit in any way stop the Undertaking from happening?
Because I think you might have missed it later on in the episode, because he goes to Frank and they're going to try and stop the whatever technology they were going to try and undermine that part of it. But then Frank sells him out.
I guess so. By the way, this guy kind of looks like Ari a little bit. I totally got an Ari vibe from him. If anybody watches Entourage. No.
I'm sorry, did you just reference Entourage on our podcast?
I did, I'm sorry.
You just lost total geek cred.
Sorry. That's escapist fan. I haven't lost geek cred for mentioning Gossip Girl before. How is Entourage worse than Gossip Girl? I'm a well-rounded human being, Michael. Sue me.
No, Entourage and Gossip Girl are for people who are not well-rounded human beings.
I'm allowed to watch.
Nope. I'm going to judge you for it.
That's okay. I didn't say you shouldn't. I just said that.
Well, that's all I'm doing right now.
Anyways, so this is kind of cool. So she's been called out, got to plant her bug the way that she was going to, and gets caught here
with the earpiece.
Yeah.
And I love this. You're going to be really upset when you meet my partner. Like,
he just
screwed up. Like, they could have just let her go. And then they would have gotten the information, and they would have come back later to stop the illegal gambling ring.
But
more importantly, they would have gone after Walter. But instead, what happens is that they bring down the rain on these people. Like, all these people end up dead just because that guy had the hubris of making a point.
Earpiece, did that girl just get shot in the head? Or was that...
I think someone else got shot there. Was just around. That is one of my favorite moments in the entire series. The dude breaks the pool cue on him.
Yeah.
It doesn't phase Oliver in the least. And then he just grabs the pool cue and stabs it into his leg. Like, that's a superhero.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not hero, but
you know,
anti-hero.
A super dude.
Yeah.
So this is cool. I like that bullseye thing, which is cool. So here's this is the red herring of the episode, right? So the idea that we think that Walter has died, and this is, what you were saying while we were watching it originally, that Malcolm is smart enough to trick this guy into thinking that they killed Walter immediately, so there's no loose ends, right? So this idea, and oh, look at Felicity's face. That was good. Good job, Emily. In terms of just looking really sad and just, that's not what they wanted. Why do you take your hood off? I don't understand. People
can
walk in at any
moment. For the same reason
he
doesn't wear a mask yet.
Yeah. They just have this nice chemistry. I really like the way that they're fitting all these characters together. It's just really finding a nice groove for me.
Wait, so you like the show that we do a podcast about? Because the characters on it are good?
Yeah. Just like I like that Green Arrow guy. I think he's pretty awesome. I say stupid things each podcast. That's okay. So stupid.
I don't know. Just kidding.
Let's go watch some Entourage.
Where you don't
look
have
at
to
this
think
Microsoft Surface commercial. I don't know why they're online shopping.
And also Segovia.
Yeah. Anyways.
I don't know what Segovia is, but it must be some sort of fashion. It worked. Now we know what it is.
Yeah, that's true. That is the one thing it does. So this seems a bit obvious that Ollie, like, I just think that this is the worst episode for the Green Arrow cover because it's like, some girl named Megan, that's not really Megan, is working with the vigilante. And then Ollie finds out that Walter is dead and then goes to Moira. Like,
Then some blonde girl shows up at the end to say hi to Walter. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this is the episode that makes sense. That's the thread that's going to sort of collapse everything.
You think so?
It's going to be Felicity.
You think so?
Well, she's
I think based on the end of this episode, Malcolm knows that Oliver knows. That Malcolm knows.
Yeah.
That Oliver knows. Like, like
it's one of
they
those,
have
yeah.
a they have an Obi-Wan Kenobi Jango Fett moment from episode two where they just have a conversation in polite society. I'm gonna beat the crap out of you. You know that, right? It's like, well, I'm pretty sure I beat the crap out of you last time. So there's a lot of upsetness here because Moira feels responsible. Because she is responsible for what she perceives as his death.
By the way, do they just have a photo of Robert in the house?
Yeah.
When he's still alive? So they just have a photo of Robert in the house.
Just of his face.
Which I will point out here, Gossip Girl also has a photo of the mom just sitting in the living room. It's the thing that rich people do. They just have self-portraits, like, sitting in their living room. So that you can be like, look at me, I'm important, and I have a...
There's a lot of pictures of me around this living
room.
But,
like, not just you in a face, like, just your face. In sort of, it seems like it
maybe
was like
there
a.
Needs to be more. Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong.
Maybe that is why you are not rich because you don't have a portrait of yourself sitting in your living room.
I'm gonna fix that.
Yes, oh, it's good. So we get here this conversation here, the idea that Malcolm has been dealing with this for a long time, and whatever Sagittarius is. Have we talked about Sagittarius before?
Yes,
we have. That's We've the thing where the that Walter was sort of onto, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of want. Oh, again, and that's the idea of the Archer and who he is and where he's coming from. So. I think that there's more to it here. I think that he, like, that we're going to discover stuff with the Dark Archer, in terms of, like, what else is going on here with the Glades and where this is coming from.
Next week's episode looks like it's going to be a lot of Dark Archer.
Yeah. So it could also be important that he has contacts in China that he just said here, and this idea of Terracotta Warriors and where the Dark Archer was, and maybe there's, like, other things that are happening here. So, I don't understand this. So this, best line ever. Church pizza guy can't break 100. I just, like,
that's
just
totally
looks so
the
dumb.
1%er, right? Like,
it is.
Like, he's mad at the pizza guy for not having change for a $100 bill. Because all Oliver has are $100 bills.
No.
Like, it's just because the rest of us are people who walk around when we have a $100 bill in our wallet. We're like, I got a $100 bill.
I did that the other day. I had to go, like, buy something that was expensive. I was like, I'm $100.
And you, like, look at it before you spend it. It's
I
not like a five where you just hand it over to the person for your Tim Hortons.
And I feel like I'm going to get robbed. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I get robbed right now, they're going to steal $100. Oh, it's so upsetting. Anyways.
I love the way that they make Laurel seem younger by putting her in regular clothes. Right? Like, she's just in, like, casual jeans and a t-shirt sort of top.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, she dresses very professionally.
Yeah, yeah.
In present day. Mm-hmm. So she's very, like, where he's Abercrombie Oliver, I think she's an American Eagle Laurel.
Ah, there we go.
She's very AE Laurel.
She is. It's good. I just, like, I don't understand how they make his hair so what it is when he's Abercrombie Oliver. It's just so good. But I just, like, love it so much that he just becomes, like, this different person. So this is
something that... They put makeup on him, too, eh? Okay. Like, he's, like, he really so made up right now. Yeah, so he looks, like, really pretty and clean.
Yeah.
And young.
So what I really like about this is we didn't really get their relationship beforehand and didn't realize that it was in a really good place before he left. That's the one thing that I didn't like, that Ollie, that he genuinely was a good person before he left, and that she genuinely saw that. Because, like, remember that was the thing that we were sort of, like, unclear about, is, like, what was it, like, did she see a different side of him? But no, he seemed like he was maybe just a genuinely good person with her. And so it's just, that was just very interesting to see their relationship and why he left, right?
Yeah.
So... again, so we have Moira's stakes then in this, the idea that she's going ahead of the undertaking to save one person's life. This is the whole thing. This is the Spock conundrum, which I don't know if anybody's seen the idea of, like, the new stuff from the trailer from Into Darkness. Or not the trailer, but they released a scene, the What Would Spock Do? Oh, so good. I'm so excited for that movie. So good. But it's the idea of, like, what, who do you value? Are you going to, like, anyway, so this is, like, 1,000 people or the one person, but... Yay for Ollie for putting that sound thing and following his mom, because that was the, like, logical thing that he should do, and I'm glad that they are making sense as characters, and it's working, and it's good. Oh, look, a commercial for Iron Man 3.
It's really good, by the way. Everybody should go see it this weekend.
I'm so excited.
I don't need this. What? I don't need to say that to this audience. Everybody's already got their tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
I hope you all enjoy Iron Man 3 this weekend as much as I did.
There you go. That's it. Yeah.
That's the correct
thing. Anywho. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness this month. And, oh, May the 4th be with you all, because it'll be a week
and Free Comic Book
Day. And it's going to be awesome. Lots of geeky, awesome things in May.
Yeah.
I just did that was my May update for my other thing that I do, the 4 Geeks Media. I did, like, a whole bunch of geeky things that are happening in May. It's the geekiest month of the year. It's, like, really awesome. Yep. There's a lot of awesome things happening this month.
It always has been.
Yeah.
It's also when my birthday is.
Oh, no big deal. Extra geeky. So here's Ollie sulking in the dark. I love that they put in the closed caption whirring so that we know that things are starting up when they turn them on. Anyway, so he's reacting appropriately to finding out that his mother is dealing with the undertaking. So that's kind of cool. But he sits on the floor a lot in that costume. I just feel like that can't be comfortable.
He's got a lot of very expensive ergonomic desk chairs there. He sits on a concrete floor in leather. I'm sure that can't be good for you.
Yeah. So this is cool. This is, like, the moment that Felicity's been waiting for, I think, to really, like, find out about what, like, this is these are all the links, right?
Yeah.
We're finding everything's falling into place, which is really great. And so. I was a little disappointed. I didn't know that he was in Starling City. I thought that he would be in Australia or something far away. So, but it's kind of cool that...
It's in Bloodhaven.
Oh, Bloodhaven, right.
So it's out of town.
Right, it is out of town. Sorry. So yay, Bloodhaven. That's cool that we are crossing into. Who is it? Was it Nightwing? Yeah. So I love that this episode... they're throwing in all these ideas. What is it? Talked about it last week. The idea of the DC universe maybe being consistent in a lot of things. So here, something to jump off of something. Did we figure out what it was that he had to jump off of? We
never figured that out. It's a plane. I'm telling you, I saw a plane.
But
I don't know.
Who
knows who was flying it?
I want to know what it is, because it could be super important. Maybe it's something that he has a friend that has a plane of some kind, or... It will be.
I'm sure he just did one of his, like, Russian mafia thing, because there he is. There's the plane
right there. Oh, it's way up top. Yeah. So who would it be?
Who's flying the plane? Yeah,
who's flying the plane? Like, who's flying the Green Arrow over this
plane? Hal Jordan.
Ooh, that would be absolutely awesome.
That's Q-level canon, which this is the first time we're introducing Q-level canon. On front lines, we have F-level canon, which is to say when there's a plot hole or something that doesn't make sense or something, a gap to fill in, we make F-level canon, which means that it's front lines level. So that's Q-level canon. Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern. Pre-Green Lantern, of course. He's not the Green Lantern yet, and he's not Ryan Reynolds, that's for sure.
No.
As a matter of fact, he's a young Nathan Fillion.
Okay. Yes, that would be
Better, he's a young David Boreanaz.
Oh.
As Hal Jordan, flying the plane.
That would make sense.
David Boreanaz, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. He needs to do something other than, like, fight crime, because...
Yeah, that's who was flying the plane.
That's,
and we're just talking over Oliver beating the crap out of
people. But, I mean, because it's an epic scene, and you can just watch him beating the crap out of these people, and it's pretty awesome.
I don't think we need to, 21 episodes into the show, I don't think that we need to emphasize how hardcore Oliver is as the Vigilante.
I just love this, like, this is such a cool shot where you just see the, like, bodies. It's
I
just
loved
really
him
great.
Cracking the guy's head on the light, and then two more times on the concrete wall.
So,
and then he just, he rescues him, and then we cut away, we're going to cut away in a second so that we don't have to explain how Oliver got him back to Starling City without him, without Walter ever realizing that the Vigilante and Oliver are the same person.
Yeah, and it just seems, doesn't seem odd that...
He turned on his little thing, though.
But, like, why would he save Walter? Doesn't Ollie realize that this is going to create more problems than it's solving? I don't know. I guess... I mean, I guess he's doing it because he loves Walter, so... Or likes Walter, or...
His mother loves Walter.
Yeah, so... It's
and I think that Thea and Felicity are a very big motivation.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's also just what's right.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That all makes sense. So that's... I am really excited about this Q-level canon now, and in my brain, it was Hal Jordan that flew him over that building.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to explain that later. They will. There's all these things that they're setting up. It's so good.
I don't think they will. I think that's
They'll
just...
They'll explain where he got a plane from.
He's a rich dude.
Okay. I just... I think...
He contracted somebody and said no questions asked.
Okay. Fair enough. Maybe he did. That makes sense.
Showed up with his motorcycle helmet on.
Yeah. That's true. He could do that. So this is the nice reconciliation moment in the hospital. I think, so Moira genuinely, this genuine care and concern for Walter. I don't understand how he just forgot everything else in this. Weren't they on, like, a really rocky terms when he got kidnapped?
But I think that he's just keeping up appearances here. And I think he is genuinely happy to see some of them.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and she's just so awkward. She's entered a couple times. I just love it. It's just, like...
So rude, though. Yeah, like, Moira's just like, and who are you?
Yeah. I think that she's... Because she poses the biggest threat to Moira, I think, in terms of, like, being someone connected to both Walter and Ollie that can...
But Moira doesn't know that.
I know. Well, maybe she does on some subconscious, like, primal level. Who knows? Whatever. I'm reaching here.
I think you're Shakespearing that.
I am.
You're reading into something that's not there.
I am. Fair enough. So, this is cool. This giant boat. I want a boat like that. Ugh.
My favorite thing is that it's a real boat in that shot, like in all of these shots.
And
but then when it pulls away, it's a CG boat. It's like, you guys couldn't just sail that boat for 5 minutes?
It costs a lot of money to deal with water stuff. Like, even this is costing them a
buttload of money. It's just one shot.
Yeah, true. I thought actually that they just CG'd in the Queen's Gambit on the back of it, maybe.
No, I'm pretty sure the whole boat's CG.
The whole boat is? Yeah. Anyways. But, that's cool. So I just want to, like, figure out what is going on. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think we're missing something with Robert's story here. I think there was something else in terms of, like, why they're going on the Queen's Gambit. I just really think they haven't
He's going to China.
Just, but why?
To screw with whatever thing it is that Malcolm has.
Right.
That's gonna level the city. Which we said, I think... That's why it's unclear, because we still don't know what that is,
right?
If
but it's going to make it look like
a natural disaster,
right? So, well, that's cool. And it probably has a lot to do with things. Oh, Sarah, they spelled it S-A-R-A. I kind of like that. That's how my sister's name spells her name, but everybody spells it with an H. I know that's really, really random, but...
It's interesting the color choices that they're putting them in, because Oliver is in, like, baby blue.
Yeah, it's making him
powder
young.
Blue, and then she's in
red.
This bright red.
Mm-hmm.
and knowing where their futures lie.
Yeah.
It's almost polar opposites, right?
Oh, but that's kind
of... Well, not cool. Polar, actually very similar, but very different.
Yeah. Yeah, Laurel is... You know what? I think that this is trying to show this sort of softness to her that she doesn't have anymore, which is kind of nice because she's not that... She's not like a cutesy person, and she's being very cutesy in this episode. And I think she loses all of that. I think that he makes her hard. Well,
it's
the innocence,
right? Yeah. Like, it's very similar to Moira.
Yeah.
Those two characters, I think we're supposed to feel like they were just, you know... They were just regular people. Like, there was nothing...
Yeah.
There was nothing exceptional about their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that Moira was rich, right?
Yeah, but they were just sort of...
But yeah, like, people. they were just sort of, like, stereotypical individuals. Mm-hmm. And then this tragic thing happened, and it's kind of defined them.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, look at that tie. You go, Merlin. That's an awesome tie. So, here we have... who he thought there was a plan with. I forget this guy's name again.
Frank.
I forget it. Frank. Yeah, that is CG. That's a totally CG boat. Wow. Crazy. Maybe it just, like, costs a lot of money to, like, sail a yacht through Cole Harbor. Because... Maybe. Anyways, it's gorgeous. Look at how gorgeous it is. I love this city. It's good.
Yeah, we live there.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is... Look at Oliver's face. Just look at that rage. Oh, Stephen Amell, you're just awesome. It's just so beautiful. And like,
well, because he's put everything together,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
he's figured it all out.
Yeah.
And he knows in this that mm-hmm. Malcolm has figured out. Like, this is, I think, the last time that these two individuals will see each other in this way.
Yeah.
Right? The next time they face... one mm-hmm. another, it'll be hoods mm-hmm. and arrows.
Yeah.
And I don't think one of them's gonna make it out of it.
Yeah. It's, it was really intense. It was good.
And then he's gotta go immediately from that to this.
Yeah.
Not a good day for Oliver.
No.
And it's not gonna get any better. Like, it's gonna get worse before it gets better.
Oh, she's wearing a nice orange. Yeah, it does change who she is. It's crazy. Yeah, she is just a lot. So this is, I think, a really powerful scene, and it really has switched me in terms of really valuing their relationship. I think that that's what this episode was all about. Remember when we sort of talked about that, the idea that, like, the only way that I would really get on board with them is if we see them when they were younger, and we didn't think that that was going to happen?
Yeah.
But I think that that has totally...
But then it happened?
It happened, because the show just does that to us in a really awesome way. So it's just so cute here that... I'm sorry, I just don't want to, like, talk about it when I watch it. So him just not... I'm glad that he doesn't lie to her, right? So this idea that it would be really easy for him to just say, no, I don't love you, and just, like, set her free. But he doesn't.
It's so refreshing to see a character on a TV show that takes his own advice.
Yeah.
That isn't a hypocrite. Great. Because he says to her earlier, don't be stupid. Don't act childish.
Yeah.
Go talk to him honestly.
Yeah.
Just so say, tell him how you're feeling. Yeah. Talk.
And Laurel did such a good job that was really emotional.
Yeah.
And we just left her on that emotional note. And
she's very good at being emotionally overwhelmed.
She is. It was good. So this is, I really like this genuine, that Ollie just sort of, I think, has been beaten down emotionally so much that he just, like, comes and, like, there's this solace in coming to Diggle and just being able to... I just love that, again, they're grown-ups and that they're able to, like, Diggle doesn't go away until you help me with Deadshot. He just, like... legitimately is like, okay, Oliver's coming here, and there's just, like, a realness to, like, how these characters are working and what they... I don't know, and I think Diggle just sort of...
Diggle's not happy in that moment that he was right.
No, he's right? not.
Like,
yeah.
there's not a, like, well, you know, I told you. Like, he's like, well, this is sort of the worst fear, right?
Yeah.
Is that your mother was involved.
Yeah, and then realizing that it's bigger than that, that he's working with Malcolm Merlin, like, that there's another thing as well. And so here we go, Unidac Industries, something terrible coming in a truck. So it's, you know, all I can think about is the Scarecrow, like, water...
The Ra's al Ghul, the League of Shadows
that's
stuff.
That's all I can think about. I just, like, I'm
I
like,
think
what
it's going to be, I think it's going to be more, I think it's going to be something that generates an earthquake.
Right, okay, that would make more sense. So it's something that has the level 24 blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this idea of it being... something that causes an earthquake or the ability to bring it down makes a lot of sense. So,
Because it has to look like a natural disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, and here's that we'll watch our preview for next week.
Lots of arrows next week in all sorts of different ways. And then Dark Archer. This is a... I don't understand why they're like, hashtag for justice.
Because social media is important nowadays.
I guess. But, I mean, who can...
Remember, when you hashtag for justice, you got to hashtag quiver as well.
Why wouldn't they just... Hashtag arrow. I don't understand why for justice. Arrow is shorter. It makes more sense. It's like...
Because they're tracking arrow already.
Oh,
they need something specific to track.
Right.
You need to understand marketing.
I do. I was a publicist for 4 months.
I'm just saying. Like, you need to understand the way that these people are thinking. Yeah. They need metrics on these commercials specifically.
Specific stuff,
not
yeah.
just the show in general. Yeah. Right? Because they're already tracking the show in general and how it trends. Not just with hashtags, because you like can just track the word.
Yeah,
right?
How people are talking about stuff.
So,
well, I think we should just mess it up by hashtagging justice for all. Hashtag.
No. Justice hashtag for justice, but whenever you hashtag for justice, right after it, hashtag quiver.
Yeah.
And let them know. Let them know that we're out there.
Quiver. It's good.
So that we can get some interviews next year, and
you know what we could also do.
Summer.
You know what we could also do? Ask people for interviews, because right now we just we should probably do that more. We will. That'll be like a big summer project, is like going through and like doing more outreach. Because right now we just basically talk to you guys and then post our podcasts and then watch.
No, I entered Stephen Amell at a contest on his Facebook page. I entered the contest.
Oh.
He didn't even say what the prize was. He just said that he was having a contest.
Because so I love him and he just does that. It's great. Yeah.
So I entered the contest, and in my entry, I gave him the answer to his skill testing question. And then I also said, by the way, do a podcast.
That's good.
Because I figured they're going to go through all of these.
They are. That's true.
Right? So
yay.
I figured that would be the opportunity.
Yay, life. Well, it's good. I will be more vigilant about reaching out to the vigilante.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, and remember that we also have a contest going that we haven't hyped in like a month.
Oh yeah.
That if you tweet at Stephen Amell at Amelliewood and tell him that he needs to come on Quiver, then you're gonna get entered into the draw for the Arrow trade paperback volume 1.
Yay.
When that comes out.
I would say actually also tweet at Paul Lackhorn, because I would really like to.
Just tweet anybody that's involved with
the
show.
It's good.
Just all of them.
But I would say don't inundate people from your same in multiple days. Spread it out.
Yeah.
Be conscious tweeters. Cuz then they'll forget about it and then it'll remind them. I just like really I like look forward to the day where I have like too many at connections that I can't read them all. That's like eventually. That's like my social media like mecca would be like the ability to not read, because I love ad connections. When people like tweet at me, I'm like, people are talking to me via social media.
Nobody talks to me.
Really?
Well, because I'm not on Twitter.
Oh, I just love
my
Twitter.
My Twitter is just a syndication.
I just like actively. I really like talking to people. I think that Twitter is like a great tool to be able to like communicate.
Well, if people tweet at me, I will respond.
Oh, yeah.
More often than not.
Yeah. I'll like respond, or I'll like them, or I'll favorite their tweets or retweets or stuff. But it's cool. I just think that that's really cool. So I just think that it's like a really cool place to be in as like creators of content, that they get tweeted at so many times that they just can't read all of their acronyms. And I just think that that's really cool that people talk about. So yeah, I really liked it because Lombardo, somebody on Twitter did tag us in all of their tweets. And I thought that was really cool that they were like tagging all the people, and I got to read all of them. So it's good. Anywho. Twitter, follow us at Quiver Podcast and continue the conversation and tweet at us. Obviously, I say I like Twitter at A Konkin, AKONKIN.
And at Arkwolf, ARKWULF. And you can also get in on the conversation on Facebook, facebook.com/Quiver Podcast. You can find the link to the Facebook group from there. And you can find our website at our website is quiverpodcast.com, and you can email us at mail@quiverpodcast.com.
Yeah. Remember, short, thoughtful, insightful emails, hopefully as promptly as possible on Wednesdays. We'll try to incorporate as many as we can into our podcast and have a conversation with you.
Just your best bet is that the second that you're done watching the episode, mm-hmm. send us an email.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. and then we'll probably get it before mm-hmm. we record. So.
Yeah. So it's good. Okay. I'm looking forward to these final. I'm kind of sad.
Well, like, it's two episodes left for the season, and then we will have a nice break, and we're going to figure out, we don't quite know what we're going to do for the end of the season for you guys yet. Yeah. We've talked about a couple of things, so we'll let you know. So definitely stay tuned to Twitter and to the Facebook page,
because
we'll let you guys know what's going to happen there.
Yeah. We'll keep the possibility of something
live.
Ooh, yeah.
Possibly a Google Hangout or something like that. So we'll let you guys know. And but until then, we'll see you guys next week.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. I say podcast weird, by the way. I know that you've pointed it out before.
Yeah, but you've listened back and now you notice it.
We did the monthly update, which I really want you to watch because, like, I think that they're, like, a thing that we're going to keep doing. And, like, it's really great production values because we found out how to use Ryan's light and camera properly. And we edited it because Andrew was like...
His camera's really nice.
Yes.
His camera's so really, really nice. Like, when I used it that night, I was like, this is...
It's gorgeous.
This is very nice.
And I just bought a $170 Rode mic. So we have, like, now really nice sound equipment and stuff. So, like, we're moving on up in the world. But anyways, I had to listen to it like a gajillion times as we were going through and editing it to like find things that edited. And I say podcast in it a couple times and I'm like, I say podcast weird.
You just have to enunciate. But I think that that's a problem that you have in general. You're too quick. You need to slow down. I teach
enunciation to children. I'm the worst. I need to slow down in life.
You're walking irony. You know that, right?
Yes, I know. A bath tonight. Now it's gonna be late. I have to work tomorrow. I haven't had a bath in forever. I really want to just have like a bubble bath and like relax and do nothing. Life is awesome but busy.
Okay, so let's bang this out.
Thanks.
Let's
That's what she said. Sorry.
And there it is. That's the post credits for our. Yeah, that's how it happens right there. That makes me really happy, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this, and now I know where that is, because that's what's going to go on the end, because trying to sift through that hour-long conversation to find the, like, 30 seconds of funny, it's in there, but I don't know that I wanted to listen to the whole thing this weekend.